Librarians, they are demanding security guards. We demand security guards. Amid San Francisco drug crisis. Librarians, libraries, streets of San Francisco, drug crisis. Let's get into it. Here we go. So keep in mind this headline that we're talking about today. Then juxtapose have that word. That with this video. Here we go.
When comparing January 2024 to January of 2023, property crime is down 32%, violent crime down 11%. During the same time frame, the numbers show a 39% reduction in larceny theft, which includes car break-ins and retail theft, an 11% reduction in robberies, and a 20% reduction in burglaries. Looking at January 2024 versus the three-year average across January 2018 to January 2020, the numbers show property crime is down 40% and violent crime down 24%.
All of the work that we're doing with alternatives to policing, with our police.
What I would say about all those numbers, I'm just going to interject real quick because it's my podcast. What I would say is you've come off of historically high numbers. Those numbers were just pumped up so high because you had so many shenanigans going on because, you know, the whole pandemic and the fentanyl Floyd deal and all that stuff. And so now that they're coming down, but got to remember, they're coming down off of numbers that were just pumped to the moon.
Police department, with our community-based organizations, how we're bringing all of that together has led to significant change on the streets of San Francisco.
The numbers.
And yet the librarians are demanding, they're demanding security guards. So which is it? Your libraries are safe. They're not safe. Streets are safe. Crime's down. Crime's still happening. What is it? Right?
Numbers may be reality, but for some, they're just numbers because that isn't the reality they're experiencing.
There we go.
Jeff Wu is the owner of Il Canto Cafe. He's happy to be in downtown San Francisco. However,
we just had a break-in in December.
With less foot traffic after the pandemic, he only does takeout and delivery orders. But right now, at this moment at least, he doesn't want to bring people back inside.
You just don't know the people that are coming by anymore. That's one main big reason why we don't let people in.
Because they're whacked out of their you-know-what minds, and they're committing crimes. Same deal with the library, right? You got homeless people on drugs. Drug addicts, whatever, going into the library, doing their thing. Yeah, we need security guards up in here.
And we've had some crazy people outside. They do their thing outside, but as long as they're not in here.
And just this past week.
And it's like everything is locked up.
The team at Frederickson Hardware at Fillmore and Union showed CBS News Bay Area the steps they're taking to reduce shoplifting at their store.
We covered that one.
After a recent string of thefts, they now have employees escort customers as they shop.
It was still locked, which is
longtime employee Sam Black says they've experienced the worst bout of shoplifting he's seen in his more than 20 years working there.
It's just been lawlessness. I've never seen anything like this, not even close.
Both realities can exist at the same time, but making things more complicated, perception.
There's a lot of things that went into helping us to get to this place, and that momentum is continuing.
How do we get that across to people, though? I still talk to people every day who tell me, gosh, are you safe? You live in San Francisco, Max. How do we get this message across that crime is not as bad as it was?
Yeah. Well, that's going to, that continue.
Saying that crime is not as bad as it was and saying that San Francisco is safe are two wildly different stories. Right. And so I go with boots on the ground, store owners, restaurant. Hey, what happened? Well, we had a break in here as you know, recently as December. And then you've got the librarians. We need security up in here. Pronto.
It used to be a very hard one. And I think, you know, the press and the conversations that the press have, the negative stuff seems to get a lot more attention. And what doesn't get attention are the exciting and positive stories.
The data does show progress for San.
The exciting and positive stories. I'm willing to cover that stats say the crime is down, but the harsh reality says something different, doesn't it? Because why else do you have librarians? You know what I mean?
San Francisco's efforts to reduce crime.
Is it where it needs to be? No, but this is a major city. There will always be challenges around crime, but sadly, San Francisco continues to be a bit of a punching bag for a lot of folks who don't necessarily live here.
But for those who aren't experiencing the progress, the numbers will remain numbers until their reality changes.
I think on the outside, I think from a, you know, take a look from the outside, Mayor London Breed, she has really dropped the hammer. I mean, she is using the tools that she has. But if you have prosecutors and you have district attorneys that aren't willing to put the, you know, the serial convicts, the serial felons away, and they are doing some of that. They are arresting people willy-nilly that are doing the whole drug thing around the UN Plaza and that type of area in the Tenderloin. But when you've got an entire area that you have basically segged off to take care of not only the homeless, but, you know, the drug addicted, homeless, the whole thing. You've got an area, you've got a huge area known as the Tenderloin. You're going to have some issues because you that has been there for decades. That has been segregated off, essentially, where cops dump people and say, hey, you got to stay in here. You know, it's not fenced off. It doesn't have razor wire around it, but it might as well. From the standpoint of you need to stay in here, you are confined, you are a person that is whacked out of your mind, or you got drug issues, combination of the two, you're convicted felon, whatever it is, you know, that you've got going on, where, you know, this is your spot. The Tenderloin's your spot. Unfortunately, there are libraries in close proximity and in the Tenderloin, and the public library staff, they need some security guards. Let's get into reading this article here. San Francisco public library workers plan to rally Tuesday, demanding the city provide security guards at all branches to protect staff and patrons amid a rise in dangerous incidents. Okay, is this relegated just to the libraries? I mean, what's going on here? Because we just heard from the mayor and a prominent reporter that things are getting better. You know, things are dropping. Criminal activity is dropping in the city. But then we've got an article here. We got a rise in dangerous incidents. Which one is it? Which one is our reality? Yeah. Most of the city's 28 library locations lack dedicated security officers, and librarians and other workers say they've been forced to intervene in dangerous situations that sometimes turn physical. According to a Monday press release from Service Employees International Union Local 1021, which represents library workers at the city's public branches, the workers are demanding the change as they negotiate with officials for new contracts. So if the libraries were safe, do you think they'd be demanding this? I mean, yeah, it's pretty clear, right? They're not safe. They're not just asking this because they don't get a direct benefit unless there's, you know, safety issues that they're concerned about. And that's literally what we're talking about today. So, you know, what are you going to do? Ah, librarians are liars. You know, we talk in real estate about buyers are liars. Oh, yeah, we're going to make an offer on that today. Oh, yeah, full price offer, escalation clause to the moon. Oh, you betcha. You betcha. All you hear is, you know, crickets after that. They just leave. Yeah. Buyers are liars. It's a real estate thing. So you've got these librarians demanding security because of the rise in dangerous incidents. Okay. Yeah. Meanwhile, word on the streets, things are getting better. There's tension in the air when there is no trained security around to de-escalate situations, said Jessica Choi, part-time librarian in the press release. She said at one branch, she recently approached a man who swore at other patrons and then kicked in a glass door. You think that guy might be a little bit mental? You think he's on some drugs? Yeah, I think so too. I remember being a student at the University of Washington, and invariably, in the student newspaper, the big criminal activity of the day or the week or the month or whatever would be some homeless dude coming into the library because it's warm and Seattle's cold, you know, 10 months out of the year. And the homeless dude would just be off in the back, you know, just, you know, doing something he shouldn't be doing in the library, watching some girls and, you know, crazy stuff, right? That was always the big, oh, there's another guy beaten off in the library. Oh, no, that's not good. I mean, horrible, horrible. If you're a female and you encounter that, yeah, no thanks. No thanks. Hard pass. But it was always one of those stories. That was as bad as it got. Some guy's jacking off in the library, right? Now it's, well, some guy's screaming at other patrons and he's kicking in a glass door. Because we don't just have homeless folks. We don't have winos like we used to. Remember when we called them winos and bums? Remember when we called them transients? Because they just move around. Now they don't move anywhere because they know where the good drugs are and they get them so cheap that why would they go anywhere? Yeah. So you got a guy kicking in a glass door. Choi said having guards at every site would be a better solution than hoping librarians are able to potentially handle potentially dangerous situations alone. Librarians are into books, right? They're into reading. They're not into karate so they can take on the assailant in aisle 42 with all the new novels. Whatever. My library days are kind of long over. The whole internet thing, I just don't really read books from a library anymore. I still read books, but Amazon delivers them to my home. Probably should go to the library, right? I should utilize that more. But it sounds like a commitment because then I got to go back and deliver the books back. And I think I'll forget that. I don't know. I just kind of like that Amazon package because then I get to keep the book. I get to write in the book. I get to do whatever the F I want with that book because it's mine. But then I don't read enough because, you know, I'm not getting that one book a week or whatever it is from the library. Hey, kids, let's go to the library. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. My kids, I think we did the library. I think we did the library when they were little. But I think we did it because of, it was kind of like Blockbuster. They always had videotapes. Remember that? Got to go return some videotapes. American Psycho. That was a great movie. Michelle Jeffers, a spokesperson for the library, told the Standard on Tuesday that not all of the library's locations need security guards, saying that the institution relies on data to determine which branches require patrol officers. According to Jeffers, security incidents are down 13.8% year over year as of February, and that there were 7 branches with 0 incidents and 6 with just 1 during that time. In the month of March, we had a total of 114 security incidents across the system. Out of some 322,000 visitors to our libraries that month, I'm not really concerned about the visitors. I'm concerned about the nut jobs and what they're capable of. And so from a security standpoint, I would say, you know what? Give the libraries a security card, whatever it's going to take. Same thing with schools. Remember when the schools, during the pandemic, schools went down this, oh, we don't like policing anymore. We're going to get rid of our school resource officer, SRO, is that what it was? Single room occupancy, school resource officer. Yeah, same thing. Statistically speaking, that volume is very low, especially when you consider that our libraries are all open 7 days per week for a total of 1,462 weekly hours of operation. Give the library some security guards. I mean, throw it on the taxpayer's bill. They're not looking, right? They don't care. Pile it up. It's San Fran. You got taxes coming out of your backside like there's no tomorrow. What's another one? Yeah, just give them some security guards. She added that, or give security guards or give the librarians, a gun to go to work and a holster and a concealed weapon permit. Yeah. Have them pack that to work. We got a secure library here. What we're doing. She added that 12 branches plus the main library currently have dedicated on-site security officers. There's also a mobile team that is available to respond to incidents at locations without an officer. You want a cop or do you want just some kind of, unlicensed security person? Maybe a social worker? Would you like a social worker to come to the event? I want a cop, right? I want a cop. Or I want a dedicated security officer for that facility. Because then they're like, this is my turf. I need to protect what's mine. However they can. The call for higher security comes as the city cracks down on open drug use and dealing near UN Plaza, which is a stone's throw from the city's main library branch. For years, the plaza has been considered the epicenter of San Francisco's drug crisis. That is the main area that Mayor London Breed has been cracking down on. And there are arrests. There are big arrests there all the time. But you've got such a big problem in San Francisco that it's not going to just go away. You know what I mean? It's like they just brush it off. A couple of, a handful of drug dealers get busted. Plenty more to backfill their numbers. I mean, that's not That's not even a thing. The guy, you know, Jose got arrested. All right, bring Juan up. Get Juan up in here. He's got to sling some of that fatty. The city opened a skate park in UN Plaza in November, an initiative officials hoped would make the public square safer and more inviting. Yeah, except at night. Yeah, that's what I've heard. During the day, it's okay. But at night, Jose and Juan come in and they start slinging their fatty and everything goes sideways. You got a bunch of people buying and selling stolen goods. You got some prostituting going on. Anything you can imagine human-wise vice, right? We're open to every member of the public 7 days a week, Choi said. Our job is to ensure equitable access for everyone, which is why we're fighting for more full-time jobs and more security guards. I say give it to them. Everybody should be able to go to the library and feel safe. And you just should, right? You just should. Library officials did not immediately comment on the workers' demands. No, they're not going to. Those pesky librarians. They're always up my ass about something. What do they need this time? They need security? Okay. I guess a maimed or slightly winged librarian. That's not going to be a good look for San Fran. I mean, the mayor did just get through saying everything's hunky-dory. It's all fine. It's just a matter of perception, isn't it? My thought is when you still have these types of stories coming out, it's not perception. It's reality. The reality is, and you got a bunch of librarians clamoring for security, it kind of tells you a little something about what's actually going on. The dude saying, hey, I am not open. My store is not open. My ramen store or whatever it was. I don't really remember what it was. Ramen store. My ramen store is not open. People can't come inside. It's, you know, pick up your order or we deliver. Because there's too many nut jobs on the streets of San Francisco. Too many nut jobs. I was watching the DeSantis, Ron DeSantis from Florida and Gruesome Newsom from California debating, you know, what was that? Months ago? And Ron DeSantis brings out the big poop emoji map. And he's like, all right, streets of San Francisco, this is what you got going on. You got the poop emoji map. And you could just see Gruesome Newsom just rolling his eyes. He's like, he's so far above the poop emoji map. But it's the reality is what I'm getting to. All right, you got a poop emoji map because people are crapping on the sidewalks in the streets. Yeah. So what part of perception is it that we're lacking to overcome these hurdles? Now, it's the reality, which is, your numbers might be down, but that's because they started off so high over the last 3 years, whatever it is. It's crazy, right? It's crazy that this is our reality and we're debating, all right, is San Fran safe? I get the same thing on Seattle. I get the same thing. Got to get out while you can, Sean. Well, I don't live in downtown Seattle. You know what I mean? Most people tend to not live in downtown Seattle. You know what's crazy is there has never been more people living in downtown Seattle than right now. That whole pandemic thing, we just blew the F past that. And everybody wants to live there. Stuff that's going on in San Francisco and Seattle, it's the same thing. Most people just goes right over their head. And guys like me coming from the burbs, I live in Bellevue. I work in Bellevue on purpose. I go into Seattle on an as needed basis because there's some really cool stuff to do there. Seattle is one of the top 10. It was ranked number 9 in the world tourism destinations. Number 9. You get like Tokyo in there. You've got London in there. Seattle, number 9. Supposed to have a record breaking year this year for Seattle tourism on the big, cruise boats. We've got a massive cruise boat. Last year, 1.7 million people came to downtown Seattle on a cruise boat. 1.7 million people. I mean, it's a big, big industry. Meanwhile, you've got these narratives of, okay, yeah, everything's looking better. It's a looking gravy train. And then, hey, we need some more security guards up there. Okay. All right. Yeah. So what's your reality? My reality is it's somewhere in between. But the news stories, you can read those, take what you want from those. Doesn't mean it's wildly unsafe? No. Does it mean it's safe? Not necessarily that either. So go traveling on your own understanding of safety. And a lot of people, you know, they are within a block or two of these crazy areas and they don't even know. Oh, I went to San Fran, it was all fine. Now, did you go to the UN Plaza? Did you go to the Blade in Seattle? If you're in Seattle. And if you came on a cruise ship, you were a couple of blocks away from the Blade. Probably one of the most dangerous places in all of downtown Seattle. That and the International District, South Jackson and 12th Avenue South in Seattle. That's pretty close to where Steve Irwin, the stingray Steve Irwin, the guy that, you know, drove his excavator into a city park and lived there on and off and did a little logging and did a little mining. If you haven't checked out my videos on that, those are worth a look. Let's see. But that is where, you know, another one of Seattle's most dangerous areas are. And that's in the International District. People go to the International District all day long. Yeah, it's a little sketchy, but it's not terrible. Travel at your own risk. That's what I'd say. And so many of you are going to say, I'm not going to the big city if somebody even forces me. I'm not going. Not traveling there. I was back there in 88, haven't been back since, and I'm happy with that. That's okay, too. All right. That's it for me on this one. Thanks so much for being here. I'll catch up with you in the next one. Love to have you subscribe. If you haven't, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff. And I'll see you on the next one. Bye for now.